From the land grant of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 23rd day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll take a look at what's been happening in Washington, D.C. Lots of things over the last 24 hours as it's related to the agricultural committees. We'll discuss the weather forecast too. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago will be here. And as we close out our half hour together, we'll take up the cash grain segment with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Thursday, futures in the corn pit finished 5¾ cents lower at $3.87¼. September 3.92½, down 5¾. And December corn at $3.97¾, 6¼ lower. The March down 5½ at $4.05¼. May down a nickel. July down 4¾. December of next year down 2 cents. It's, by the way, at $3.98¼. Soy complex now. July beans down 13, $11.24½. August down 13¾. September down 14¾. And November beans, your new crop, at $11.50½, down 15¼. January 10.99, down 15¼. And the March contract 10½ lower at $10.67¼. November of 17 at $9.70½ a quarter lower. Bean oil 20 cents higher on the day. Bean meal down $7.80. Soft red winter wheat 4½ lower at $4.54¼. December at $4.86¼. 6¾ lower. July hard red down 5¼ at $4.27¾. December at $4.70¾, down 5¾ cents as well. Live cattle futures in Chicago $1.22½ higher in the June at $116.57½. The August at $113.82½, up $2.20. August feeder cattle at $142.37½, $2.20 higher in the lean hogs in the July, down 2½ cents at $84.45. August 22½ lower at $85.62½. That for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'll record Commodity Week at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, posted to our website at willag.org by about 5 o'clock this evening. Commodity Week at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. Let's check in now with Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to see what he thinks about the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It's been a rough week in Chicago, and there's been a lot of rainfall. Rain makes grain. Chicago definitely decided that was the case. I'm wondering what you're thinking about the proceedings that have taken place.
Well, the market was terribly overbought, for the past couple of weeks. So a decline is not uncommon. I think from a cyclical point of view, at least my work indicated that we were kind of due for a six-week cycle low to come in here this week. We were kind of due for a 16 to 17-week cycle low in soybeans to come into play here this week or early next week. And I think that is my position, is that this break is just more of a technical correction from a pretty strong rally out of the April lows on corn and out of the March lows in soybeans. Now, corn has taken the biggest hit, and that was the fear that I had here a week ago, is that if the weather pattern did change and we would get a meaningful rain, that the corn market could melt down pretty quick, and that's exactly what it did. Now, looking at the seven-day preset map, it does look like at least 40% maybe of the corn belt received a meaningful rain, maybe 20% got enough to get by, or 30% got enough to maybe get by for another week, and then I think probably 30% probably missed it altogether. So I think we're a long ways from sealing the deal on 168 bushel yield corn crop. but at least we got a start in that direction with this week's rain activity. And then I think the weather maps indicate that there might be a little more activity yet. But the key weather is still going to be July as we go down the road, and then August for soybeans. But this was a meaningful rain, and corn took its 50-cent hit, and that's exactly what it did. Soybeans held together a little better. They only had like an 80 to 90-cent hit so far. I think what the trade is kind of telling us here is that probably that June report may indicate that corn acres didn't change much, bean acres didn't change much. And if that's the case, then, you know, we're going to have a pretty sizable corn crop. The bean crop could still be skinny, because if you look at the export sales now on both old crop corn and soybeans, we're running ahead of USDA's estimates. So that tells you that there's going to be a downward revision yet in this year's ending stocks. And then that starts off next year's beginning stocks at a lower level. Actually, I think the bean, the USDA put a bean carry out on the 16-17 balance sheet at 270. I think it's closer to 170. So it's a must that beans find a couple million acres of land in this June 30th report. You need to see 84 million planted if you want to keep the balance sheet unchanged. Otherwise, the balance sheet gets real tight. And then if you would get into some kind of weather issue during August and USDA's yield prospects don't look like they're going to materialize and we're going to slip a bushel or two, that really makes the bean market set up for a pretty good rally as we go into late summer. Now, corn futures is a little different. If we do go ahead and plant this 93.5 million acres of corn, and we have 168 bushel corn yield, we're going to have an adequate supply, but I don't think it's necessarily super bearish, because I think demand's going to grow yet in corn. You know, we're finally getting around to the point where we're starting to talk about a 75 million ton corn crop out of South America. It's taken the trade a long time to get there. So there is some good demand yet, I think, on the balance sheets, and we're going to have a good export year during the 16-17 crop year. So technically, corn, at least with today's action, we're kind of holding above or at the 62% retracement level of the advance that we saw off of the early April low. Soybean futures are still kind of hanging around at 23% retracement, so they haven't had much of a decline given the advance that they've had out of their March low. So I got some timing work that says probably this market should begin to show some stabilization here tomorrow, maybe into early next week, and then we'll kind of see what happens. But the June 30th report is going to be a key number, you know, for the market to trade as we go through July and August.
Good news is next week when we talk, we'll get to talk about that report. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Here's a quick look at today's agricultural news. Washington, D.C. has been busy on this Thursday. The U.S. Senate's Agricultural Committee has reached a food labeling bill agreement that could set aside the state of Vermont's GMO law. Ranking members Pat Roberts of Kansas, a Republican, and Debbie Stabenow, a Michigan Democrat, announced a digital codes compromise. If the full Senate and the House pass the legislation, food packages containing a narrowly defined set of genetically engineered ingredients in 2 years would include a digital disclosure code or an on-package symbol or language that the Agriculture Department would approve. The code, which could be scanned by a smartphone, would be accompanied by the sentence, "Scan here for more food information." The compromise narrowly defines genetically modified for the purposes of food labels. Only ingredients derived from GMOs made by transferring genes from one organism to another would require labeling. Foods made with ingredients where the genetic code is edited, a deleted or duplicated gene, for example, would not require the GMO notifications. We'll move now from the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry to the House Committee on Agriculture, where some of the members learned this morning about agricultural imagery and technology. Today's is the second in a series of hearings examining big data and its role on the farm. The subcommittee heard from a variety of stakeholders about using satellites, manned airplanes, and unmanned aerial systems, or drones, as a way to collect imagery. The witnesses stressed the importance of maintaining the privacy of individual farmers and ranchers and ensuring data is protected. The hearings are designed to inform committee members about the technologies being deployed, the data being collected, and the issues surrounding both. And finally today, the House of Representatives Oversight Committee has recommended the Administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs be found in contempt of Congress for not cooperating with the investigation into the waters of the U.S. rulemaking process. Contempt of Congress carries a maximum fine of $100,000 and a year in federal prison, but the threat is often used to compel officials to comply with investigations. The Oversight Committee wants to know what role the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs played in developing the rule. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're joined by Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Things panned out, Mike, in the last week a little different than most meteorologists were thinking. They thought hot and dry, and suddenly there was more rain in the forecast. Tell me about that and then what your expectations might be.
Well, you're absolutely right. That is what happened. And the reason it happened is because the upper level high that's driving United States weather essentially ended up a little bit further to the south than was anticipated late last week. That change became a little more apparent over the weekend, so that by Sunday night and especially on Monday, it was fairly apparent that at least part of the Corn Belt would receive a significant rainfall. Now, that did happen over the last 2 to 3 days, but keep in mind, it only really affected the northeast half of corn and soybeans. So areas from central and southern Illinois onto the west and south are still in need of more rain. The big question going forward, of course, is will these areas receive some rain? Well, the big issue that happens next week is a little bit different than what happened over the last week. Essentially, the big upper level high that is too far to the south to prevent rainfall this week ends up too far to the west to prevent significant rainfall next week. And so what we think is going to happen is that we'll see some pretty big thunderstorm clusters develop next week from Nebraska through Kansas, Missouri, and into the Delta. Maybe even parts of southwest Iowa could get a good rain next week. And before that even happens, a cool front moves on through so that everybody next week will end up fairly cool compared to where they have been. High temperatures generally around 80 with lows in the 50s and 60s and a few thunderstorms during the transition within Saturday to Monday, including some of these drier areas of Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, and the Plains, and the Delta possibly even too. So basically, some more rain is coming up, and that takes us out to about 7 to 10 days into the future.
Boy, if that were to be the kind of weather we were to have in pollination, it would be a really good sign for the crop. However, it's a long way out. We're still pollination, probably not until around the 10th to the 20th of July, a bit later, depending on where you are in the primary corn-growing regions of the Midwest. What do we know, if anything, about that time frame?
Well, we don't know much because you're asking about a period that is 10 to 14 days into the future and even beyond that. July 3rd through 7th will be 10 to 14 days from now. And forecasting the weather that far out, after just being humbled by a situation this week where more rain occurred than you expected, leaves that period fairly uncertain. A number of our subscribers have been asking a question that we suspect many people would like to hear about. And their question basically is this. They know that the outlook for the summer has been for it to be warmer than normal with mixed rainfall, though some of the hints that have developed over the last week or two suggested that July should be warmer and drier than normal, fairly high odds for that. Now, all of a sudden, here we are looking at some rain. It's going to be cooler next week, and a lot of people are wondering, does that take all those risks off the table? Well, here's the most interesting thing that we think we can note. If you look at the main analogs to this growing season, for some time, our biggest fear has been for a 1983 or 1995 style heat wave to develop. That was mainly based on how warm it was over the course of the autumn and winter, also the diminishing El Nino, and also that it was really wet in the late fall and the early winter period. All of those conditions were met in 1983 and 1995, and they appear to be being met again. So that takes us into July, and you wonder, well, how can that really happen? Because, you know, it's suddenly looking cooler and wetter, at least in the near to medium term. Well, once you take the weather maps out from June and July of 1983 and 95, you see an interesting situation where June of those years had a big upper level high, not dissimilar to the one that we have now, kind of bouncing around the U.S., kind of like we have now. At the end of June of 83 and the end of June of 95, the heat was not in the central U.S., and it really wasn't in the central U.S. over the first week of July, for that matter, either. Basically, intense heat waves in 1983 started on July 7th and 8th, while in 1995, it started on July 11th and 12th, and then lasted through the rest of the summer. So that's still about 3 weeks out, and as of today's date, in 83 and 95, you could not have known that that was about to occur, just like we don't know now. We don't know if that's going to repeat, but all we can say is that historical observations have always suggested that that's one of the big risks going forward. If we get into the weather forecasting period a week from now, and we see that that's a very unlikely situation, well, then we'd have to change our tune and really think more about it. But it's just still a little bit too early to have confidence in what's going to happen in that period. And because of that, the risk is still there for that type of scenario to occur. You can just look out your window yesterday and know how hot it was across the southwest half of the Corn Belt. Much of Nebraska was in the 100s, same with Kansas and Missouri, even a lot of Illinois, well into the mid-90s. And that's a sign that the heat is out there somewhere. It's just not going to be here next week, and it probably won't be here in the first few days of July. After that, we just don't know what was going to happen.
So the same cautionary tale remains today, in your opinion, that you were telling us about in January and February and March and April and May, that it's probably going to be warmer than normal this summer, and that there will be a dry period. We just don't exactly know how soon it will come.
I say that's exactly right, but I would also argue that this isn't really opinion. We're basing all this on statistics and data and trying to find the years that best match this one. That's what the data tells us. Now, you always know that what happens in the past doesn't always have to happen in the future, and that's why we don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, that's just what the data says, and, you know, you just have to kind of go with it and realize that that's the case. And, you know, whether or not it happens, who knows? But you just have to follow daily weather forecasts. And if it does start to happen, realize that this has happened before.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike. I do appreciate you taking so very much time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great day and enjoy the rest of it.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Up next, we'll talk with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting from Channel Seeds about the cash grain market.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Matt Bennett now of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about conditions on the ground near your farm there in Windsor, Illinois, that Shelby County in, I don't know, do you call it East Central Illinois? What do you call yourself, Southeast?
Yeah, East Central Illinois. You know, crops look pretty good. The corn still has a really nice color to it for the most part. Obviously, a lot of leaf rolling. You know, bottom line, we missed the rain. You know, we paid for it in the markets, of course, but we missed the rain. Soybeans, of course, look all right for the time being, but I think there's a fair amount of concern at this point, given that a lot of this corn is probably within 5 to 7 days of, shooting tassels. So we sure hope to get a rain before too awful long.
And what's in the offing for you? Have you looked? I know you have.
Yeah, I look about every 10 minutes, I think. But, there's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance over the weekend. We had an 80% chance of rain this week, according to the weather app that I look at the most. And, of course, we didn't even get enough to wet the sidewalk. So that was definitely a huge disappointment. It wasn't too far east of us, but, east of us, there was a lot of folks in the 3/10 to 1/2 inch rain. So, in 95-degree heat, that doesn't last very long anyway. And we didn't get any wind. So, I suppose that's a good thing. But we're definitely going to need rain pretty quickly, or we're going to start really cutting into yield potential on this corn.
That's okay. Now you've got a crop that you're concerned about whether you're going to raise it or how much you're going to raise, at least. You've got much lower prices. Do you just set aside and wait?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. This is a tough spot to be in. I said all winter, the last thing you want to be in 2016 is the one that doesn't raise the crop when everyone else does. So, you sure hope you don't end up in that situation. But at this point, I'm similar to where I was whenever D's corn was under $4 before, in that most of my producers can't really make that work. And so, we got a fair amount of sales on whenever we're in that 420 to 448 range. And we feel pretty good about where we're sitting right now, especially, if we end up having 50% of what we were think we were gonna produce. Now, I think that might be extreme to think about it on the 23rd of June, but, when we're as dry as what we are right now, nothing's out of the question.
And what do you think about soybeans? It's a long time from now until the harvest season.
Same thing I've thought about soybeans for a while now, $2.30 above the spring insurance price, or close to, that's where we're at whenever I was looking at it for a while today, $2.20. Bottom line, you're significantly above your spring insurance price. I think that locking in value there, at the very least, is a good thing to do. Doing it through put options gives you the ability to run higher, but making cash sales at whatever it is, 1070, 1080, that's pretty tough to beat on halfway decent yields.
Matt, I'll talk with you again in about 25 minutes for Commodity Week. Thanks for being on the Closing Market Report.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting. Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday, June 23rd edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.